gaming rig. You named it gaming rig.
It's always been gaming rig.
I mean, it's not a very, you know, it's a pretty boring name.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's so fucking awesome. It doesn't need a cool name. When your computer is this powerful, you just say, lame name. You know.
Lame name would have been better than gaming rig.
No, I beg to differ. Because on the network, I know exactly what computer it is. You have like 15 fucking computers on this network.
Like when you're playing an RPG and you get to name your character, do you name him like Fighting Guy or Magic Dude? No, I name him
myself. Or... What am I getting? Mike's computer?
I don't know.
What do you name your computer?
It depends on which one it is.
What are the names of all your computers?
I have one that's named Ume.
Plum?
It's a plum colored, yes.
So it's royal.
Sure. My gaming laptop is named Oni.
You just
name I know things, a Japanese name.
You just name things so. Japanese. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, Oni's a demon. It, like, I know it has Oni a red is. Light up keyboard. I thought okay. It was kind of demonic looking.
All right. Again, I don't need to compensate. My computer could look at your laptop and destroy it.
Well, yeah, but I'm not getting into a pissing match with you on computer hardware.
Damn
I'm
not it, even I was
in
so
that.
Hoping.
I'm not in the game.
I was
not
so
in
hoping
game.
I could get you in there.
No. No, I haven't spent nearly as much either money or time gaming on these things.
But you built your own computer, so you have some cred there.
Well, yeah.
I can't respect anyone.
I go shopping on Newegg when I want a new computer.
You know what Newegg is.
Well, okay, yeah. And I pick the pieces I want, and it takes a long time to pick everything out.
What I didn't realize was, so when I did my first build, I spent 3 months researching.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Right, it's not crazy.
Sure. No.
And part of the problem is what you don't realize is when you do that, the technology changes while you're researching it.
Yes.
And so you're like, fuck, that quad core, it went up 0.2 gigahertz. Which one do I want? Because there's a slight price drop, but it's 0.2 gigahertz per core less.
Yeah, that's why I'm always like comfortable buying like 6 months to a year behind whatever's out now.
But when you're playing the most current games, that's where it gets hard. But anyway, my point is that it's...
But it's going to be... You're going to be out of date in, like, months.
But the kind of games you and I play are different.
Okay.
So, like, The Witcher, I couldn't even play with my old card in SLI. So
and I would not be able to... My computer would just shut down. It wouldn't even let me put the disc in or download it.
Witcher 3! Wait. Maybe I can do Witcher 1. Maybe if there's a prequel. That's it. But no, the funny thing is, and I didn't realize this until the first time I built the computer. So the way it breaks down, I realize, is 3 months of research, 4 to 5 hours of actually hooking everything up. And that's being careful with anti-static, because it didn't take that long.
Yeah.
And then 3 months debugging the shit out of it, because...
Oh, no, you shouldn't need 3 months of debugging.
My first time, I needed a lot of fine-tuning and like, oh, my OS, I did some kind of weird setting. But by this is my second or third build, and it's like, meh, I got it now.
Meh.
We are buddies in space.
Yes.
Hello, you
Hello.
Are.
Hello, S. Michael Smith. I had to think about that for a second. And you are...
M. Michael Carassi.
You got it right.
Right. Well, I already started thinking about it the minute you said you
okay,
were thinking
about it. That's fair. And we were drinking this is an interesting drink. It has a unique flavor.
I felt like you said that with some derision, but I actually quite enjoy it. I'm not going to lie.
You do have odd taste, though.
Oh, you should talk, sir.
You drink vinegar stuff.
Okay, but this isn't bitter.
The vinegar's not that bitter. It's just super tart.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, but this isn't tart either.
There's a tartness to this. There's what? A tartness
so
to
we're
this.
Drinking the aloe vera drink. And this is the exposed, the original plus honey flavor. And then also Bacardi white rum.
Yeah. I think it's a decent combination.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd requested at a bar.
You wouldn't order at Biaggi's. But we've had worse.
Yes.
God, we've had worse.
Oh, yeah. This is far from the worst.
Yeah, it's a little sweet for me, but it's sort of a hipster Jamaican drink.
All right. I'll buy that. Yeah. Speaking of buying stuff, did you buy tickets?
No.
No?
I'm so fucking torn. I don't know what to do.
So you've spent how many months researching the ticket process?
No, I think you did more research than I did. Because I was like, oh, we don't have a 70mm film here. Okay, I didn't know that. I thought all IMAX was IMAX. Star Wars.
There's a movie coming out in a couple of months.
Hold on. If you're listening to this and that is news to you, why the fuck are you listening to this podcast? Okay, I'm sorry, go on.
So Mr. Carassi here is something of a Star Wars fan. As we may have mentioned previously, I don't know if we ever talked about it.
Describe the room a bit. But yes, we do have a whole episode about May the 4th. But I used to be a psychotic Star Wars fan. And then the prequels helped, and maturity, but mostly the prequels helped to temper that, if you will.
So tickets went on sale last week, was it?
I hadn't even planned on even, I didn't give it a second thought.
Like nationwide, I guess, at the various places that are going to be showing Star Wars.
$6.5 million in pre-sales in the first like 2 days.
So if in any ticket to see Star Wars that could be reserved, I think has been by now.
It's close. reserved seating, yes. You can still buy like opening night tickets for IMAX because they don't do reserved seats.
For IMAX?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's what you were actually trying to buy the ticket for.
I want to buy an IMAX tickets for Erica and I. She's willing to deal with 3D because I'm so want to see it so badly in IMAX, but... Yeah, they don't do reserved seating, so it's like, how early do we have to show up? Two hours? 3 hours? Just to get not... It's IMAX, but like I've seen the real IMAX in New York City, like a real IMAX theater. That shit's the six-story deal or whatever. Like the IMAX we have is like, meh.
So apparently there are a ridiculous number of different levels for your IMAX experience.
I had no idea. I just thought it was different sizes.
Depending on the size of the screen, the technology, that particular penis. Theater. Well, yeah. And how it looks in 3D, of course.
Laser 3D.
So the top of the line is going to be the 70mm non-3D IMAX experience.
Why is that? Why not 70mm, dual 70mm 3D? Why is that?
I don't think the quality is as good for some reason.
But it's just two 70mm prints playing.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
They don't have my computer. They don't have my computer, so that's the problem.
Sure. But if you're fortunate enough to be near a place that can screen that, when there's like five of them in the country, I think.
We're a technology city, goddammit.
You would think so.
We're an optics technology city.
Yeah.
We're the fucking home of Kodak, for God's sakes. God damn it. Sorry, go on.
The second down on the list is the, I guess, not 70mm. It's the IMAX laser projection.
Lasers.
Which, if you're going to see Star Wars on something, a laser system is going to be the best.
It's actually projected by lightsaber.
Yes.
It is a lightsaber etching into the screen. It's a very expensive thing because the screens get destroyed very quickly.
And again, there's a very small number of these theaters in the world. And I think the nearest one to us is in Toronto. So that's
closer than Philly. I'm just saying.
It's doable.
It's doable. And
that's
in
3D. It's a laser 3D.
See, that makes experience, sense. I feel like they go hand in hand. Lasers and 3D.
As opposed to, I think the standard is like a digital 3D.
Right. Which is what they have.
Which is,
Well, they take the screen and they, you know, compress it a bit to get it to fit.
And honestly, ever since digital projection came out, I have not really been a fan of it. I think it looks kind of choppy to me.
I've ever noticed choppiness, like the stutter, like micro stutter.
Yeah, there's something in it that just bugs me. I've gotten used to it.
All sorts of shit that bugs you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm old. That's what we're trying to say.
That's
here.
What I'm getting to. Yeah.
Anyway, not a huge fan of digital projection. I would, if it were a 3D laser thing, I would go to see that. The other big deal.
Wait.
Apparently,
what if we just organize a trip to Toronto? I'm not joking. It's not that far. It's like 3 hours.
I don't think my wife would go for it, honestly, which is weird because she's the big Toronto fan.
She can go with us and go to 3D. Walk around somewhere. But it's laser 3D.
You have a child to
No, we're going to get we're going to get a family member to.
For like a whole day?
Yeah. they're kind of cool with it if it's here and it's only one day, we're not too far away.
All right. Well, let's table this. And,
all right.
And possibly work on it off.
I'm going to reach out to Ben and see if he wants a road trip to Philly. Because you know Star Wars is going to be in the theaters forever.
Yeah.
So we could road trip in the spring, maybe.
Yeah. The other thing about the Star Wars tickets is that apparently almost all of the screenings around here, at least, are in 3D.
Yeah.
Which
really weird.
It's not really weird to me because...
But it's not a native 3D movie.
Yeah. But they charge more for 3D.
Yeah, I know.
So if they're showing more 3D of it, that means they're going to make more money at it. So
I guess with something of the magnitude of Star Wars, people will buck up for the 3D who normally wouldn't.
Yes.
Like Erica would.
Yeah, exactly.
You would.
I'd rather not, but I don't know.
Laser 3D, dude.
I might if it were the laser 3D.
Okay.
But it's not if it's around here.
I'm not talking around.
Not their, their shitty little whatever tiny screen that's going to do it in 3D, then you have to put the glasses on and whatever.
If IMAX would do a non-3D showing.
Non-IMAX, that's how I'm talking about.
Right, no, I know. But if IMAX did a non-3D showing, I would just buy the 3D Blu-ray and then watch it in 3D in my house because I have a really good active shutter 3D TV. And then just watch it alone, and that's fine. But IMAX won't do a non-fucking 3D showing.
No.
And I know we're spending forever talking about this, but it's really stupid that it's so hard to find a non-3D showing because you guys don't want to watch 3D.
Right.
And then very few places are doing it, and even fewer places have reserved seats with recliners that do it.
Yeah.
Again, you guys are old, so...
It's annoying, and it's because of greed.
Right.
Basically.
But that's the story of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Everyone saw the amount of money George Lucas made off of those motherfuckers, those little action
that's
figures.
That's true.
No, it's true. It is true. I know a lot about Star Wars history. The action figure sales, the merchandising, that's why that's joke is in Spaceballs.
Right.
Merchandising, where all the real money of the film is made.
So I guess when you look at it that way, it is entirely appropriate for the screening to be driven by greed.
Yep. More so than usual for the Hollywood production cycle. But I am genuinely excited. J.J. Abrams is I watched the Star Trek movies, and I've been saying for a long time that they would make better Star Wars movies than they did Star Trek movies. Because they had that sense of grand action that Star Trek wasn't really supposed to have. And he made a big deal, and I believed him, that practical effects were king. Because he saw the backlash that George Lucas experienced with the prequels.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even if you don't... I'm sorry if you don't care about Star Wars, we'll drop it in a second. But it's exciting. It's unprecedented. This degree of, I think, fan care for, relaunching a franchise after it's been ground into the fucking dirt.
Others might say fan service. I would say fan service.
Not that
that's a bad thing.
Here's why I disagree with you, because they tossed all of the expanded universe. That's the only reason I would disagree with you. If it were fan service, they would just take pre-existing stories and say, oh, look, it's Mara Jade and Admiral Thrawn and other characters I can name because I was a fucking nerd who read all the books.
Okay, that would be hardcore fan service. This is more general fan service. Bringing back, obviously... Han Solo and Leia, and however many other characters
are going
to show up.
Yeah, have you heard any rumors?
About what?
Stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, longevity of stuff and things?
What?
Okay, apparently you haven't heard anything, so never mind.
Yeah, is this a speculation that Luke Skywalker is the main villain?
Yes,
okay.
He's the bad guy. He went dark, and he has an evil
hand.
Well,
I don't know, yeah.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
It could be,
Either you know or you don't, but I don't want to say it, because if it's true, it's a massive spoiler, so.
Okay, I don't know then, because that was the only, speculation I really...
Okay.
I've tried to tune out most
of
this
that's
stuff.
Cool, but you've seen the latest trailer, right?
I don't know if I have.
Okay, I'm
going to
just leave you with this, and then we'll leave Star Wars behind.
Okay, I haven't.
So you've seen the hilted lightsaber with the silly...
Yeah,
lights. Okay.
That looks dumb.
It looks dumb. I agree with you.
It looked really dumb.
I read an article, I think I tell you this, entirely devoted to the sputtering of that sword shows that is a non-trained Sith. Because of all the sputter, so it's a dirty build and all this stuff.
A dirty build.
Yeah, I think that's actually what they said in it. Anyway, my point is, so Attack the Block, which we should talk about, because it's a fantastic movie. John Boyega, main character
yes,
for that.
Yes, I am really looking forward to seeing what he does in this.
Okay, well, let me leave you with this. In the trailer, I believe it ends with John Boyega picking up a lightsaber and going at that guy. And they have a duel. And that's where the trailer ends.
Okay.
That's fucking awesome. I didn't know that was going to... I didn't know he was a Force user.
There's a poster with him... The poster for the movie has him wielding a lightsaber.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
That's...
I didn't look at the poster.
So no, that doesn't really spoil anything. Because obviously we know he's going to be having a lightsaber fight with someone.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna die.
He's holding it. No, what? No. No.
Unless they're both just really bad. It's like the lamest lightsaber fight ever. Like the Star Wars nerd, the fat kid from the internet years ago. Maybe he's a better lightsaber fighter.
But no, I'm happy for John. I think he's got a lot of potential, and I'm really looking forward to see what he does with this.
And it's exciting that they did some no name actors. Well, the main Daisy Ridley, like she's done nothing.
All right,
and then she's basically the new Leia.
Yeah.
Obviously, Oscar Isaacs is a little bit more established as the new Han Solo character.
Yeah.
But it is funny that they just repeated the archetypes.
Yeah.
You have the Leia, who's slightly switched roles into the Luke role, and then you have the Luke being John Boyega as a defector from the whatever's left of the Empire. But okay, leave Star Wars behind. I get it. We've burned a lot of time on it.
Yeah. You know, they're also doing a Blade Runner sequel, right?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Not with Harrison Ford.
He's going to be in it.
What? Is he going to be a replicant, though?
Probably. But he's going to be, I think, the same character.
That's funny. But he's aged.
Maybe, yeah, I guess.
So how could he be a replicant?
I don't know.
Because they had a lifespan. They didn't get a chance to age, right?
I don't know.
Spike, I want all the answers right now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dude, Ridley Scott needs to fucking make Wolf.
Ryan Gosling, I believe, is going to be the main character.
As long as he takes his shirt off, it'll make sense. Did you ever tell you about Wool? Did you ever read that?
Wool?
Yeah.
I just downloaded it. I just picked it up on Comixology.
It's a comic now?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a book first.
Okay, yeah. And this is the comic version of it I just downloaded. I haven't read the actual book.
But you know what it's about then? The silo?
Just vaguely. It has like some kind of a Fallout theme.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fantastic. And I think it was Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott might have bought the rights to Ready Player One. He bought one of them.
Okay.
The Ready Player One, which is, if you're into video games or the 80s or a human being who likes fun, you should read that book because it's like sugar. You just consume it really quickly. Did you ever end up reading it?
I started it, but I didn't finish it.
You are a cocksucker. Anyway, Ridley Scott bought one of them. But yeah, Wool was like a first-time writer, like worked in like a lame part of the publishing industry, wrote this book, and it did really well. And someone snatched up the rights really quickly. But that's going to be a fantastic, fantastic story.
Yeah, Comixology just had a sale on Grant Morrison stuff.
Oh.
So I picked up a whole bunch. I can't remember if Wool was one of his. Maybe it was. Maybe
he
did it wasn't.
An adaptation of Wool? That's so it's just a weird thing.
It might not have been him, but I kind of think it was. Anyway, yeah, but I got a bunch of his stuff in addition to Wool. I got I just started reading We Three, which is kind of interesting and violent with.
Sounds up your alley.
It's the one about the three animals, a dog, a cat, and a rabbit, who are... It sounds like a cute story.
I know, I'm thinking...
But they've been made into killing machines for the military, and they have these exosuits on, and then they go rogue, and they're just trying to get home, but they're again, really good at killing anybody who's in their way.
Mike, I feel like you have a certain thing you like, and...
Cute and horribly violent.
You go for that, considering all the Usagi Gimbo stuff around your house.
Yeah. Yojimbo. Do you say Yojimbo?
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo. What's up?
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo. Gonna go catch some crawdads?
Rabbit Bodyguard, which is a really great series if anybody wants to get into that. And Sakai, I think? Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but I think that's the name, the author.
I'm not... Japanophile, I'm to correct you.
I think he's from Hawaii or something. He's American.
Lame. Cop out.
Of Japanese descent.
Sell out.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, that's a good series. And going back to Grant Morrison, I picked up some of his Doom Patrol stuff, which is going to be timely, I think, coming up soon with the movie.
Did he have a Doom Patrol movie?
Yeah.
I just don't read news anymore of any kind. Nothing.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never read Doom Patrol, so I don't know what to feel about that.
Yeah, DC's getting interesting.
I do not know what the fuck DC's plan is.
I don't think DC has a plan.
No, it's like they looked at Marvel and they were like, we're not going to do that.
They did. They did. they did specifically do that or say that because they look at the Marvel, like the like ridiculous continuity.
Planning. Yeah, yeah.
And DC just said, no, we're... Every one of these movies and shows is just like its own thing. I mean, we can do a crossover once in a while.
But then they're doing Suicide Squad or whatever it's called.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Suicide Squad, not Doom Patrol.
Yeah, but Suicide Squad, it's like, okay, so we're going to take the very well-established Joker character and toss it for this different version. Yeah. We're going to take a bunch of villains no one's ever heard of. Yeah. And then they're going to get their own fucking movie with, like, no backstory.
Yeah.
And here you go. Smell my fart.
Worked for Guardians of the Galaxy.
But they fit into the continuity still.
Well, yeah, but again, yeah, that's not a concern
for
DC.
Look who directed it, though. They were smart. They said, James Gunn, we honestly don't think this is going to work. So here's about 60 or 80 million. Just do whatever the fuck you want. And then he was like, okay. And he laid his balls on the table. And everyone was like, this is hilarious. Your balls are awesome. And then it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
But Marvel said they gambled.
The continuity was kind of an afterthought in that.
But it's going to be huge in cycle phase three of
the
universe.
Well, okay.
Oh.
Anyway, DC not doing that.
Yeah, it's the Superman, Batman. I mean, the way they're doing Justice League is like, all right, they're kind of slowly building.
Yeah, but it's going to have Wonder Woman in it and Aquaman.
They do not.
How dark can a movie be when fucking Aquaman is in it? I mean, really.
Well, really, I can only ever think of an Entourage. Because Adrian Grenier's character, Vinny Chase, and that played Aquaman.
Oh.
So, like, I'm always going to think of that. And James Cameron directed it in the show. So they actually had him doing it. Yeah, I feel like... So this is my... I call it the Captain America problem. The world has moved past a certain degree of, like, forgiving a character's ridiculous backstory.
Uh-huh.
Like, you need a certain damaged, dark backstory for you to have any acceptance, even in the modern, very comic-friendly climate.
Damaged, dark backstory.
Yeah, how many... Think of all the comic books lately. Like, all the comic book movies. They all have, like, okay, backstory is a little dark, a little damaged. Okay.
Well, all right. That's more of a Marvel thing.
Is it?
Flash?
Does Flash have a movie?
He's got a TV series.
Yeah, and it sucks.
But again, he doesn't have... I don't think he has, like, a dark...
I'm not talking about background. TV shows, though, because I'm wiping all the CW nonsense off the map. I can't watch a commercial for any of the DC stuff on CW without thinking, oh, so this is selling abs, and that's it. I feel like I'm walking past Abercrombie. We've talked about this. I'm pretty sure Arrow's success entirely is due to his eight-pack.
I like, saw half of an episode of Arrow, and I was like...
Oh, so you only saw
really
four abs, then?
But if you look at the TV, the Marvel TV, and I would include
Shield.
Netflix stuff into that.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Which is
like
all, that's all pretty dark stuff.
Did you see, you haven't seen the Jessica Jones trailer, I'm sure.
I have not. It looks interesting.
It looks so
fucking good.
I
saw, like,
good.
The teaser for it.
Oh, my God. First of all, 10th Doctor, David Tennant, is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Ritter's a great actress. It already ties into the third Marvel property that hasn't come out yet. It isn't even filming yet because of stuff in the show. And her character is fantastic. Like, I have all the Alias comics that Bendis wrote. That has nothing to do with the stupid TV show Alias.
And then on the flip side, we have DC with Supergirl.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, kind of...
They're apparently
happy and cheerful, not much of a dark backstory. I mean, your planet got blown up, but
yeah, but you
hey,
get over that, you know.
Yeah, that's in the past. That's,
I mean, Superman got over it.
And she's like his older cousin or something.
Did you know that someone, there was a point in, I think it was in the aughts, so like early 2000s, that someone was like, why are there no black Kryptonians? And so DC retconned in like an island nation of black, because you can't call them African American, right?
What?
Of dark skin, because I don't know what
island
else to call them.
Island nation?
I'm pretty sure, as I recall, it
so
was
they kept them all in
nation.
An island?
As I recall,
that
yes.
Sounds awful.
Yes. I'm fairly, and you know what? I will fact check this myself, but look it up.
But that's worse than not having them, is having them, but keeping them all on one island. All
right, so note to myself and the readers, double check this, but as I remember, which is funnier in my head, so maybe I won't check, they said, oh yeah, there was this island nation of dark-skinned Kryptonians.
But they didn't leave the island.
They didn't make
yeah,
it or
no.
something.
Oh no, they wouldn't be in the rest of Krypton. Ton.
Nope.
Not in the other nations. No, no.
But what would have been worse if they were like, oh, the island was burst forth when Krypton exploded and they all survived and they're in a floating island all on their own, or if they just got wiped out with everyone else? Like, do you segregate them even in death, or do you include them? I felt like DC picked up a hornet's nest and just was like, bleh, I fumbled it. But, okay, so here's my point. Everything DC does looks silly except when they do dark damage characters, because the Batman movies sold like gangbusters.
Yeah.
And I know it's a torture character to begin with, but they really fucking played that up.
Yeah. You know? But they really, the
third one, movie
the Zack, the Zack Snyder Superman movie, where they like tried to make him brooding.
But
it
that's
was
my
awful.
Point. Right. Okay. Okay. Great.
Oh
great.
My God, it was bad.
Thank you. So this is my point. We as a society need a certain degree of, I won't say realism because we're talking about comic book movies here, but a degree of baggage. And when you try to retcon it into a character that historically had none. The guy's planet blew up, but he was just happy-go-fucking-lucky all the time.
Because
right?
He had great parents, and he yeah. was raised on a farm.
He was the American dream.
Yeah.
Sans, you know, the planet blowing up.
Well, yeah.
But when you try to stick, so DC's like, oh, let's make him dark and brooding. It doesn't fucking work. He had a beard, and he was like a lumberjack. What was that about? What was even going on in that movie?
I don't know.
I think they were like, oh, we got footage of what's-his-face is playing his father. Let's just recycle this.
Yeah.
So my point is, I want to root for DC, because in the 80s, they were the only ones doing comic book movies that are actually worth watching. But times have changed, and I, for one, you know that I get off on mythos and convoluted, you know, tie-ins.
Yeah. So like, and there's none of that in DC movies.
And now. Marvel has that fucking buttoned down in a way that's never been done before. Like, I was watching S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, and Erica barely cares about the show, and I'm like, yeah, mention something, just anything that ties into something else. Yeah! I'll be in my bunk. So, there's that. Still a good time to be a geek. Did Attack the Block do well?
I don't think so. It was a little indie film.
And it was foreign, too. I mean, it's British, but...
Do you really count that as foreign?
Have you met the Midwest? I know you have. Are y'all them people who talk funny, right? It's not the Midwest.
All right. This is something it would have played at the little theater.
Right. But we saw it in Canada. We saw it at a major theater. Like a normal theater in Canada.
We saw that together?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm?
But that's Canada. Major theater in Canada could be...
They're half English, half French. I mean,
it breaks
down. But if you haven't seen Attack the Block,
yes.
Great film. John Boyega.
Yeah, as you're waiting for Star Wars to come
Nick
out.
And Nick Frost is in it. Very funny character in that.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's not the main character.
No.
Yeah, definitely...
He's in there. He's being Nick Frost.
He's just kind of being Nick Frost stoned all the time.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, so Nick Frost, yeah. Maybe slightly more stoned. But yeah, that, like, I didn't really know what to expect from that movie. But I didn't realize it was going to be a sci-fi movie, because it's not, but it is. You know what I mean?
Yes. The way it starts, it takes a lot of turns.
It's like a sociological study on like the British latchkey kid.
Yeah.
and I was like, oh, okay. Like my intellectual side is being stimulated by this. Oh, aliens. Okay. Wait, no. What?
Yeah. Definitely recommend it if anybody hasn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I wanted to touch on as we're bringing all this stuff up.
Touch it first. Okay.
There. Is a lot of these movies coming out have been getting a lot of, like, horrible backlash.
Oh, like the Star Wars anti-white thing?
Yes.
Now, are you talking geekdom? Like this weird new dark side of geekdom? Because I've been noticing that.
Is this like neo-Nazi skinhead Star Wars geeks? Is that the subset that is getting offended here?
So our producer, if you will, the guy who distributes us, right?
Yeah.
He has a theory that the...
Jason. Yeah.
Who, by the way, Million McFly March went really well.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a big hit, which is... And they raised a bunch of money for team with Team Fox for Parkinson's research. That I did basically nothing to help with. I put two of his spots in our podcast. Hey, he thanked us.
Okay.
He thanked you and I on Facebook. I know you never check it, but we're tagged.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I put you did nothing, so you didn't deserve it. I had to take his thing and download it and insert it when I was editing. Oh, it was exhausting.
Oh my gosh. How many clicks was that?
Oh, it was like five with volume level because he was very loud. Anyway. But he has a theory that I think he may be right, that most of the time, the people who are the most offended and raise the biggest stink about anything are white guys.
Yes.
Just wanting to be upset.
Well, okay. Are you going somewhere with this, or is this where I interjected?
You may interject at any time.
I think it's because white guys are used to having all the privileges.
Right.
And
all of the privileges.
Once one of those privileges
gets shared,
they're like, what? That was my privilege. Mm-hmm. I was sitting on that privilege. I was using it. It was mine. And now
I was somebody purposely else gets it? Preventing you from having it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
I think that's
give me my privilege one. Back. Give me my privilege back.
Give me my privilege back. Give me my privilege back, you bitch. That's a song lyric. I'm not being sexist. I am sensing a disturbing trend, and I'm afraid.
In the force?
If it's a million geeks crying out and then being silenced. Give me a line, dude. Give me a fucking line. I will quote shatter them. Unless it's the prequels, then I won't. You look like a woman in love. It's only because I am a woman
so,
in love.
And it's not just Star Wars.
Well, what it started with was what Adam Baldwin started with the Gamergate. Was that what it was called?
Oh, my God. Are we going back to that?
Well, but there's a trend. There's something building that started with that, and it's really disturbing. So, historically, gamers have been very sexist.
Yes.
And homophobic. But I think sexism tends to be the big thing on the forums, right?
Yes.
And also they teabag each other in first person shooters. So really, well, it's very confusing. It's a very sexually confused society. Yeah. So there's a kind of bad side that we've all known about for a while with gamers that you kind of try to ignore. And that is this infantile, sexist, abusive, I have anonymity of the internet and online play so I can say awful things kind of shit.
Right.
And then Gamergate happened, and I guess there was some legitimacy to what their initial complaint was.
A sliver.
It was a sliver. It was just about the legitimacy of reviews when they're, for people who are paying for the advertising. Like, it raised an interesting point, but it quickly lost.
It was a legitimate thread that they tried to make into a cape to cover themselves with.
Right. And get away with.
Because it's only a little thread. And that little thread cannot cover the mountain of
douchebaggery,
sexist bile that they were spewing, and threats.
Yeah, it got bad, and these were very intelligent gaming women that they were going up against, and that was like, and they were holding their own, like in a small number,
which just antagonizes the other side even more.
Well, that was where I was going. It's like when you get a couple of women standing up to a group of guys, and the women are handily beating the shit out of them, like just. With their words, that's only going to make the guys look worse. And then it just escalated into threats, which is like, I forgot who it was. One of the reviewers had to cancel a college appearance.
Yes. She was receiving death threats.
Right. And they were going to blow up the school that she was speaking at.
Yeah. Obviously, nobody was probably going to do that.
No one took it seriously.
But once somebody makes that threat, right, you can't not do anything about it.
Well, because then you are culpable if something actually happens. But
yeah.
It's so that was a really dark time recently when I was young. All right. And I know I'm not as old as you, but I have a different experience with the geekdom, although I think it's shared to some degree. But when I play video games, consoles were out. There was a home acceptance to console gaming, but it was still not popular. So the unpopular kids did video games. Right. So I have a very protective feeling about playing a Nintendo and having that experience.
Right. And you're not, it was a personal experience. It was very private. Personal. You're not online. There's nobody chatting
having
with you.
Having a friend
in the
over
game.
To play Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was your weekend. That was fucking thrilling. They'd sleep over. Your parents knew you weren't getting any sleep. Yeah. It was fine. You were, if you didn't yell too much, it was fine. Right. Like that. Yeah. No one's going to have that
I'm
anymore.
Saying, not that I did that, because I'm a little older than that.
But that's what I'm saying, is there was a thing where there was starting to become a little bit more of a communal aspect when I was gaming, when I was young, but it wasn't an online thing, because there was no internet. Right. So, obviously, I understand that I have a certain lens that I'm applying here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was, when you found another gamer when I was a kid, it was a revelation, because it was rare.
Yes.
And you, no matter how much you might have disliked that person normally, like you had a bond that was nowhere near, but I will compare it to being on the front lines in a war. Like you were probably both picked on for it. And it's something that you instantly, Ben and I with D&D, we told the story with the Inquest, t-shirt and everything. Like that was like, oh, we're two ostracized geeks.
Yeah.
We're going to be really good friends. And we happen to be very compatible. But flash forward, this is my point. So flash forward to now, and the geek is the thing to be. It's commonly accepted. There's no ostracism for it. You're probably ostracized more if you're not a geek at this point. And so what we're seeing is, I think, the dark side of that is, okay, so now the once ostracized community now wants to ostracize. And because it's a fairly open playing field for people to be a geek and take part in these activities, they just have to start picking on people. And when you throw in the anonymity of the internet and the carte blanche douchebaggery that you see with that, it steamrolls, and I'm really afraid of where it's going, because Gamergate escalated in a really bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're getting something else, this weird Star Wars anti-white thing, which is fucking ridiculous.
Well, you know, the other big movie that is drawing the ire of these...
I don't think I do.
It's the Ghostbusters.
Because it's women?
Yes. It's the upcoming Ghostbusters sequel, because it's a female lead cast.
So were they'd rather Harold Ramis, shambling corpse, be in an all male
yes.
cast? Okay.
Yes, they right. are.
Well, I've solved the problem then.
Yeah, and there was an article about it today, and the actress is in it. No.
Just kidding.
I don't think that would be in. Well, okay, it'll probably be in the Atlantic in a couple of days from now. But yes, they are getting, again, just like vile, sexist, just awfulness directed at them, you know, mm-hmm. through Twitter and various
social media, internet yeah. sources. Yeah.
But Twitter, my God, who uses Twitter, really?
A lot of people use Twitter. Chris Hardwick built Nerdist on Twitter. I mean, he swears
I just
by
can't
it.
Get into it.
I was thinking a lot about this.
Read them in news articles when they're referenced, but...
I think referencing Twitter anywhere, especially in legitimate news, is utterly preposterous, but that's just me. I have this whole thing, and I think you'll like this, but how to phrase this, because without saying pompous, right? So I read a lot of Joseph Campbell, and I've incorporated it into my book.
Ooh, right. I read a lot of Joseph right? Campbell.
Okay, let's get it out of there. Yeah.
Okay.
Go fuck yourself.
Is that good?
Yep, that's good. Okay. Great.
You're clear now.
All right, excellent. If you're not familiar with Joseph Campbell, he's sort of the father of myth. Yes, he was an old white guy, but he was the foremost authority on mythology.
The father of myth?
I think that's what they call him, right? He was the most knowledgeable person about mythology in the world by
really?
The time he died. Oh, yeah. No one had collected as much mythology and research as
no,
him.
No, what's that? The girl's name? Edith something?
Bunker?
No. Oh God, this is bugging me.
You're really gonna look it up right now.
I'm gonna look it up while you talk.
Give them something to do.
Yeah.
Give the listener something to do.
No, I have to look it up because when I think of mythology, I think of this woman.
Well, anyone who knows anything about Star Wars will automatically think of Joseph Campbell, because George Lucas said, yes, I stole all of Joseph Campbell's Heroes of a Thousand Faces. Anyway, so Joseph Campbell was the apparently, other than Edith Bunker, the world's foremost authority on myth. But he had a lot of really interesting points about how ritual had a very important role in just humanity's evolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we're getting away from that, we're getting away from ritual. The last vestige at this point, did you find it?
No. I have like no signal. Keep going. Oh. Keep going.
The last vestige of ritual is really religion, and we kind of all know where that is. Not something I'd buy stock in at this point. So his point was, and I thought it's very interesting, as mythology is being taken out of society, we're at a loss for certain inalienable truths told through allegorical story. We lack that now. That isn't something we see a lot of in our society, in the way that even 100 years ago we had, much less 1,000 years ago, right? Mythology helped to teach basic truths. It also helped to teach you about fire and why it was helpful. It taught you how your, you know, ancestry was relayed. I mean, it was all verbal back then, right? So very important
yeah.
stuff.
But we have the internet now.
But that's my point.
Okay.
This is where I'm going. So we had...
Sorry,
so,
didn't mean to steal your thunder there.
You didn't, but
Zeus.
That is also a myth, yes.
Mythological reference. What?
Okay, I'm done.
What? No, go ahead.
So Twitter, Facebook. So I was thinking about this. I do a lot of thinking when I run, right? Because, you know, my forebrain's tied up, so my deeper thought processes can kind of extrapolate a bit.
All right.
So I really think Campbell was onto something with this, and I kind of... He didn't live long enough to see where the social media thing went, but I think he would have fucking hated it. And my point is that it seems to me that what we've lost, and this is going to sound cliche, but stick with me because I'm moving past that.
Uh-huh.
What we've lost is the personal, interpersonal communication. I say personal as in person to person, as in live communication, right? Yes, it's very easy to say that. Oh, we game online. Oh, we IM. Oh, we text. Yes, we've all know this. But here's my point. The problem is that we've lost mythology. So there's a certain communal aspect, and religion, there's still some things about religion that really appeal to people, I think, because of that. There's a shared communal in-person. You don't telecommute to your church, you know?
I bet some people do.
But be realistic.
Okay.
Packing up the car on Sunday and dressing up is still a thing people do.
Yeah.
Maybe you go to church that doesn't make you dress up, but the point is you still go, right?
Right.
And that's part of mythology. You went and saw the dude with the rain stick talk.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we've gotten to this point now where we are so disconnected, but we think we're still connected. And this is what's really fucked up. So you get things like Twitter, you get things like Facebook, you get things like online gaming, and they have digitally filled in a false way, our need to connect. So it feels like that hole is filled. It's like, oh, I have a bajillion Facebook
friends. And I think that's kind of like the way when you look at a series of dots, you can see a picture.
You matrix something into it.
Because, your brain connects those dots. I think.
Literally.
Yeah, well, literally, yeah.
But no, the matrix thing is a well-documented psychological phenomenon.
But, you know, maybe to tag along with what you said, and maybe when you're just getting like the dots of Twitter, your brain connects fills in the rest of that.
Well, I have been retweeted, therefore I have someone who follows me, therefore I'm immortal in the way that Gilgamesh was immortal, right? I have been retold, my story has been retold. If you're really going to get heady about the mythology of it, but my point is Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Vine and everything else the fucking kids do, because I really don't know anymore. I just don't have energy or care. But they have filled this hole in a digital way, and I think it's doing, and again, it sounds cliche, but I'm trying to be a little bit deeper than that. It's doing damage in a way that it's very hard to see, because it feels like it's bringing people together, but it isn't. And there is something that getting two dudes in a room in front of a microphone still is more interpersonal in its communication, right?
Aw.
Than 1,000 people.
I feel like we should hug.
You want to hug?
No.
Okay, good. I didn't want to. I'll hug you on text. I'll do that little, the punching beers thing. Yeah,
there's an emoticon for any sort of thing like that.
Yeah, well, but that's exactly, right? Emoticon. We have a fucking word for it. My point is that I am just hitting the old man standpoint, apparently, about this, just recently. In the last
Welcome to
months.
The club,
right?
Sonny.
High five. Don't touch me. But touch me.
I'll emoticon touch you.
Damn it. But we have this whole lexicon, this whole language of intercommunication that is all fake and doesn't actually involve anything interpersonal. And that's why I think sports is so tempting for people to get into. Think about this. So,
whoa, we just changed gears here.
No, I haven't. I'm still talking about the same thing. Think about this. You must have those pointless conversations with people about the weather, right? Everyone's had those.
Yeah,
they're
of course.
Safe.
They're
right?
Safe.
They're completely safe. I went through a period in my slightly trolling days in my 20s and in college where I just would be completely honest with someone if they asked me how I was doing.
Yeah, that's not...
Have you ever done that to someone?
Not for a long time if I have. I mean, when I was brought up, I don't think I heard the expression, the standard greeting, how are you doing?
Okay.
For whatever reason, that wasn't really part of me, of my childhood, my growing up, and where we live now, it is what everybody says.
Mm-hmm.
And it still kind of freaks me out when people say that.
Well, you know that they don't really want to know.
I know.
What you're doing, and that's what but that's crazy to me.
Yeah, but that like short-circuited for me.
Hmm.
And there's always, whenever somebody says that now, there's still a part of me that wants, okay, how am I doing? I really want to get into this.
Since you asked, you obviously care. So let me tell you, it's the liar, liar gag. Hey, how's it hanging? Small shriveled into the left.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, TMI, but I asked, right? But I was thinking about this.
I know the correct response is, fine, how are you?
Right.
It's difficult for me to. It's still difficult for me to say that.
And that's probably. I mean, in a way, it's good because you're not fun. But you know what it is? It's a ritual, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's the word. The meaning of the words. It's like with religion. The meaning of the words don't. They've lost the meaning of the word, and you just know that your response.
Yes.
You know, go Christ be with you, end with you. I don't know religion.
Yes.
I don't understand religion, but so I was thinking about this. So
it just means I see you now.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, yeah. It's like, hey, what's up? Christ. Guy, God, dude. Nailed you to a cross or something, but you're cool with it, I guess? I don't know. You in the self-mutilation Olympics, maybe? Well, that changes the Bible a lot. So we have, how are you? Which does not mean, I actually want to know how you're doing.
Right.
We have the weather conversation, which is always the same in Western New York, depending on the year. It is four conversations, probably three. It's three conversations year round. And then there's sports. And here's what's interesting about sports. I was thinking about this. It is as meaningless as everything else, ultimately. It ties back to something very old, which is gladiatorial combat. And it's, again, I'm going to keep tying this back. So football is the modern gladiatorial combat. We've nerfed it quite a bit, although you still get plenty of brain damage and beat your wife, because that's a thing that we're only now figuring out.
How are we only now figuring that out? Come on, really?
Okay, you're right. Really? We're only now admitting it.
Yes, okay, that's a lot better.
That's fair. I'm sorry. My point is, sports are one of the only things that you can legitimately get passionate and emotional about in non-important conversation with another person, even a stranger. Think about that. Two people, I've seen this at Wegmans, I've seen this at work, I see this all the time because it's the Bills, because we have a team that loses a lot, but has a lot of heart. But, so it's a team you want to love, right? It's the Rudy.
I guess.
We have the Rudy. The Buffalo Bills are Rudy.
All right.
All right.
I honestly don't follow it anymore. When I cared about football, I was a Miami fan, which I know, you don't even,
even I know that here. That's like, yeah.
the idea of like, everybody around here is Bills fans is like, I just tune it out.
But if you talk to another Miami fan.
Well, back in the day, yeah.
But right? But it's like, oh, did you see that game last night? Oh my God, a ref was blind and blah, 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 and axiom and axiom and axiom.
I would have been more like that in high school.
Okay, my point is, as an adult, we are not good about communicating. We don't really want to know how you are when we say, how are you, which is bizarre. But sports are one of these weird passes you get to suddenly let some aspect of your like emotionless facade slip, right? And it's safe. I'm not wrong, so I'm not going to even defend it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just think, look at it, watch for it. It's really interesting when you look at it that way. It's like, oh, these people are like actually being vulnerable to each other for a split second, and they don't realize they're doing it, and then it's gone. And it's only because they're talking about sports and not politics.
I don't know. Where's the vulnerability, though?
Showing emotion. How are you? I don't really want to know. The weather, it's a safe conversation. Safe conversations.
Yeah.
Versus showing emotion. Showing emotion is not a common thing. We'll do it with an emoticon.
Right.
But in person, especially with a coworker or someone you're not close with, that's crazy. Just keep an eye out, man. I don't work in a job that I go to an office anymore, but you do.
So I'll take some more notes.
You have that luxury. Just, go out, take a look, look around. That's all I have. It's my long diatribe. Why'd you give me that weird look?
I don't know.
Diatribe?
I'm trying to be emotional.
Do you know what emotion is? Are you Spock? You're talking.
On it.
You're acting like Spock talking like Kirk.
It's the worst of both worlds.
I'm trying to be more emotional. Is this not passing convincingly?
I don't know what to follow that with.
I'm sorry. When I run, my mind goes really deep. Or I just fantasize about having money. It's one of two things.
It's Edith Hamilton, by the way.
Edith Hamilton. That name does sound familiar.
Yeah.
But I did not hear Edith Hamilton. I did not study Edith Hamilton in college. I studied Joseph Campbell. So I can't speak to the veracity of her being more or less of the mother or father of myth.
I think of her whenever I think of mythology, because her mythology book was... just everybody had to read it in every class.
That's funny.
But you, even a math class, you would be assigned mythology by Edith Hamilton.
What kind of school did you go to?
Liberal arts.
Okay. We don't really
said.
We don't really understand math, but we know mythology is important. And I mean the book, Mythology, by Edith Hamilton. Not Edith Bunker. We made that mistake once. But you ever read A Hero of a Thousand Faces? Or
I have not.
The first time I read him outside of college was he did a fairly famous, before my time, television interview. This is back when people were smarter with television. He did this really, really well watched, very highly viewed interview with Bill Moyers. and they just two old white guys talking about mythology. And Bill Moyers knew his shit and was asking really intelligent questions. And it was so like interesting that they actually re-aired it, and then they transcribed it into a book, and they have more material than they aired. And so it's, I think it's called The Hero's Journey is the name of the book, but I have it, and it's not like reading Ready Player One, right? It's not like a riveting read, yeah. But you read it and you're like, Jesus Christ, like this is everything he says makes sense. And you don't think, but then you put it down and you're like, doop, 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 emoticons, Twitter. And then you're like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. My life is no point. Doop, doop, to Facebook. You know what I mean? It's depressing is what I'm saying.
Aw.
No, I really enjoyed it. I had Erica try to read it. She might have finished it, but it's slow. It's not something you read quickly. And then there's When Do I Show My Kids Star Wars?
Is that the book?
I actually read the book.
I mean, When Do I Show My Kids Star Wars? Is that the name of a book?
It should be.
Because it should be, it yes. Really should be, I think it should be.
A geek dad's guide to parenting. When Do I Show My Kids Star Wars?
Yeah. It's still too soon.
Oh, yeah. I want to start with episode one.
I would say
I'm going to say five. Six? Try five all with right. episode one because of how young Jake Lloyd's character is.
Okay.
Well, but here's the thing. If it backfires, it's a shitty movie anyway. And I can wait a couple years and then try a better one. I put a lot of thought into this. I took the hatchet order. I kept the hatchet order. But then I put episode one back in because for kids, that's a great gateway drug.
So, okay, yeah. Yeah, Barney, Teletubbies, Jar Jar Binks. I think that's a natural progression.
Are all things I don't want my child to watch. Yes, you're right. Jar Jar. I so want to see Topher Grace's re-edit. You heard about this?
No. Do they just get rid of him?
The Topher character? Grace, the guy.
Or they make him the villain or something?
No, he like edited. I think he edited all three prequel movies into one. And he took out like Jar Jar, and he like took all these things out that no one likes. And it's like apparently you can't.
Really it's a much shorter movie. Then.
It's roughly 4 hours shorter than the full trilogy. But apparently it's not terrible. You know, like taken in the context of how bad the prequels were. But he did it as like just fun because he likes editing. And you can't, like, show it. So he did, like, a private screening once, and then it was it. But everyone who went was there was like, oh, it was really good. Bastards. Why am I not friends with Topher Grace, Mike?
I don't know.
I watched that.
Probably because he doesn't live around here.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he does, anyway. I don't think he
does. But the best marriage advice I ever heard was Dennis Quaid talking to Topher Grace.
Dennis Quaid. Not to be confused with Randy Quaid, his brother,
Quaid?
I believe. No.
No, yeah, no. No, correct the Craig. Fuck the crazy guy. No, Dennis Quaid talking. So Topher Grace is a young hotshot guy who becomes Dennis Quaid's boss when their company buys his company. And he ends
what,
up
what movie is this?
In Good Company.
Okay.
It was a good movie. And Topher Grace falls in love with Dennis Quaid's daughter, so he's hanging around, and he's like, how, you know, you have this beautiful wife, you have two really amazing kids, how did you make a marriage work? And Dennis, it was the perfect delivery. Dennis Quaid looks at him, he goes, you find someone you want to be in the foxhole with, and when you're not in the foxhole, you keep your dick in your pants. And he just walked away. I was like, that's amazing. You can't really argue with that. That's the secret to a good marriage, right there. That's all my Topher Grace stories. Yeah, that's all of them. You just looked at your watch.
I did.
That is way too much going on with that.
Sorry.
So that's God, smaller than a Moto 360 face?
Yeah. Huh?
That's not the flat tire.
No.
Wearable technology. So do you like it?
We're gonna go out talking on Android Wear. Smartwatches.
We're a podcast called Buddies in Space. Okay. You really think it's not the place to talk about smartwatches?
After all that deep stuff, we're going out on this tonight.
Let's tie it with frivolous technology. Let's tie it all together.
Space. It is frivolous technology. That is an incredibly apt description.
But you like to tinker.
It's expensive. It's,
yeah, that was like $400.
It's unnecessary.
Right?
It was a little. I got it on sale.
Already?
Technically, it's used. Because it was one of them that got returned, or they didn't. They couldn't sell this new. Actually, it was the box that was scuffed up. Like everything inside the box was fine, but I guess the box
that
was
person
so
is
scuffed,
a
like,
part of the Star Wars.
I reject this box.
That person is a part of the Star Wars anti-white movement. mark my words.
I don't know though. If you're buying a present for somebody, and the box that contains it is you know, a little scratched up.
Scratched or like crushed?
It was scuffed. It wasn't crushed.
I've given scuffed things before.
Well, okay. I, apparently you don't care about your friends as much as this person did because they found it unacceptable.
Apparently someone's a bag of dicks.
Anyway, I got it for 25% off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a
That was Amazon Warehouse's discount for having an imperfect container for the item. Whatever. I'm not arguing.
The fucking world.
It works
we're living
fine.
In.
Looks great.
Okay.
I mean, first and foremost, it looks like a watch.
Yeah.
It's a round screen, mm-hmm. which I did not want a square screen because
the square screen starting with the Moto, it's getting away from that.
Yeah. That the Apple Watch just looks dorky.
No, but they were the first to do the first to two sizes.
I guess. So but that, so what?
That helped get away from it a bit. The you know, the wow, this isn't round, this looks stupid kind of thing. But
yeah, I guess.
I think more women's watches are not round.
Yeah. You can get not round watches, but I mean a round is the more classic shape for a watch.
Well, you have way more watch faces you can get.
I can get an infinite number of watch faces on this, and I can make my own.
Infinite if it's not, number.
That's the entire reason I got it. Because I thought that was cool, and I happen to have some disposable income. There's very little usefulness in this watch.
Well, can you say, like, okay, Google, and then have it look something up?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Mike, your watch is not impressing me.
Okay, Google. Transformers, the movie. I don't know why I picked Transformers, but there you go. There, see, Transformers this movie.
Can you watch the movie on your watch?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to try it.
So bad.
That would be awful. Those explosions would be so small. What's the point?
It'd actually make your wrist shake, though.
Probably.
Cool.
So,
it has
yeah,
a speaker,
it
right?
just pulls up. It's got a speaker. I haven't had it do anything, really. But, yeah, it's got a speaker. I get Hangouts alerts on it.
That's what really for the wearable technology thing, like if you don't have your phone on you a lot, but you're at home.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
I guess.
Well, okay, so Nero, my coworker Nero.
Okay.
Like
this guy goes crazy on the gadgets.
He is a tech fetishist.
Yeah.
There is no like if you were to look up tech fetishist, his picture, and I'm saying this with nothing but love. Because
okay.
I learned you and he were the ones who'd like help me figure out my next phone. Well, I ignored you, but you were still important. Because I had the information provided me to ignore.
You did take some of my suggestion, though. You got an extra battery.
He started saying that first, but yes.
Well, all right.
I took that part of it and I ignored the LG part. So, but he has had many different watches. He actually, he's tried them all out and all this shit, but he gets, so he has family in other countries. So like internet communication is very affordable for them. Versus telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, he's constantly getting notifications. And so...
That would make me crazy.
It would. And it makes me crazy watching because he's always got to stop and look. But that being said, sometimes it is actually kind of urgent for him. So it... When you have a situation where you don't want to constantly have your phone on you, you can get the Wi-Fi enabled notifications. That makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of the other shit with the activity stuff...
Yeah, nah.
I would rather have a... clunky little Fitbit that if it broke I wouldn't cry.
Yeah.
Then run with that thing on my wrist.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like this weighs nothing. I forget it's there.
This is like the weight of a watch.
Right. I don't want to run with a fucking wristwatch on.
Here, it's a metal case, it's a metal band, it's got weight to it.
That's not terrible, but it's ridiculous to run with it.
It's the weight of a regular watch.
Right.
So I think it looks neat. It's a cool, shiny toy.
It's a conversation piece.
Nobody ever asked me about it. I wish they would.
You just sit there like kind of like waking up the screen constantly.
Oh,
it's like a woman with a big engagement ring just waiting for friends.
Oh, look, it's raining outside. I can tell my
watch? You're asking about my watch?
Yes, yes.
I wasn't asking about your watch.
Why not?
That would be really funny to watch. Someone freaking out at someone else for not asking about his smartwatch.
But no, and I just like having all the different faces on it. There's all these cool different faces I can have on it, and I can customize the faces on it.
Which is basically all you've talked about.
Yeah. But that's the beginning and end of its coolness and usefulness for me. So there you go.
But I think that's very mature. Realize that you have a toy on your wrist.
Oh yeah.
And it can swap out watch faces to go with different outfits.
Yeah.
It's essentially a Barbie accessory for men.
Exactly.
Or for you, and in this case, it's for men.
But it's a AMOLED.
Mm-hmm. I would just say AMOLED. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's always a risk of burn-in. So I'm like constantly changing the faces so it's a different one on all the time.
No. Change.
It's been on too long.
This Cartier face is going to burn in. Yeah, you know what I don't worry about with that? My Fitbit. It's got 5 glowing dots. If they burned in, I've always hit my caloric goal for the day, so I just win.
It looks cool, though. It's a Huawei. I don't think we mentioned that. Huawei, I think, is how they want you to pronounce it.
Huawei. So it's like, it used to be Hyundai, and now it's Hyundai.
It was always Hyundai.
Was it?
From the earliest ads, it was always Hyundai here.
I guess I like to embellish then.
Yeah.
Because it should be pronounced Hyundai.
Maybe when you're the president of a Korean or Chinese company, you can tell people how to pronounce its name in the United States.
Well, I am glad I'm not the president of a German automobile company named Volkswagen. So.
Yeah, because you would be out of your job right now.
But he stepped down.
Yeah, I still have a job. He's going to be fine, but yeah.
Yeah.
He got millions of dollars for stepping down.
You fucked up good. Here's $7 million. Yeah. No, 7 million euros. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, books, probably a heap and helping of at least pictures, if not videos and other cool stuff from the Million McFly March, I would bet.
Will there be emoticons?
I don't think there are.
Did they tweet about it?
Jason's big on tweeting.
All right.
So I'm sure there was plenty of tweetage.
Nice.
He was like, okay, so when we got rolling with this, he's like, okay, well, you're going to want to do a blogger account. Make sure, you know, you got Twitter going. And then I'm like, I'm not going to do any of that. I don't even use the, your wife doesn't want me using the automated plugin for the reposting from our podcast to his. So I like manually do it, which is fine because it's not that hard. But like, we are the most low-tech distributed podcast on the planet.
I'm cool with that.
I am too.
We're keeping it real.
You don't do anything. Of course you're cool with it. You do nothing. You show up and drink, which is good because I can't have this podcast without you. So high five for that. Labor Day is all about celebrating you, sir.
Nice.
You. We are Buddies in Space. You are S. Michael Smith.
And you are M. Eichel Karasi.
And we are out. Huawei.
Okay, Google. BuddiesInSpace.com.
Did it work? Don't tell me it came with the fucking dogs.
Okay, Google. BuddiesInSpace.com.
Yeah! We're on your watch, dude! Woo!